Thank you. Hello, everyone. I think Martin earlier was talking about the virtual machine IA side of it. Now, actually, I'm going to take you all talking about the disaster recovery side of it. The key part about this one, I'm going to talk about leveraging Azure rather than having an on-premise disaster recovery side. So very quickly about myself, I'm an MVP actually on the Hyper-V technology, and I have been a Microsoft certified trainer for the last 5 years' time. And I'm working for a company called Redynamics Asia, which is part of the Infant Consulting Group. So with that said, I have a couple of questions before we start the session. Can I kindly know how many of you in the audience like have already implemented disaster recovery site? Can I see some hands? Okay. And can I kindly know out of this disaster recovery site you already implemented, how many of you have already tested that one? Okay. Nice to see. Okay. So the question that I asked that one, because we see like a lot of customers when we engage with this question, the key thing is they already have a disaster recovery site and they have spent a lot of time about that one, but some of them never tested that one. And even like the key part is they were really scared to implement it, because like once implemented, they were not sure whether it will work properly. So I hope really it's not something like this, yelling for help, like it's not going to work properly. So put it very simple, I'm going to keep my agenda very simple way. I'm going to talk about Microsoft disaster recovery solution, Microsoft picture, overall one. And then I'm going to talk about Hyper-V replica, the Microsoft way of like talk about the replication engine. Again, that's going to be another session, very detailed session going to be about Hyper-V replica. So I'm going to highlight about this technology. And then I'm going to go very deeply about actually about Azure site recovery from on-premise data center to the Azure cloud. So just to step back to look at it, traditional business continuity challenges. The most important part actually about the disaster recovery site is the typical disaster recovery site. Some of you might already implemented that one, will be very well aware. Some vendors might say to have a disaster recovery site, you need to have identical SAN in both sides. And to do that one, again, you need to buy purchase license and replication licenses. And some of the vendors might say, you need to have identical license purchased. And the virtual machines on the DR site need to be identical, and you need to purchase licenses. Those are the typical scenarios. So it's like running two production sites any given time. And you are maintaining a site additionally, but without knowing when the disaster happened, but always you are spending money for that one. So that's actually about the costly factor. And next part is the complexity. The partner that you are working with on the disaster recovery side, they might be really good at it on the application stack, but they might be not very good at it actually working on the hardware side. So they will be actually, let's take example, they might be working with a different SAN vendor. So when a disaster recovery happens, they will say, okay, hold on, let me bring the hardware vendor, so he will actually sort out the replication engine part with the two SANs. After that, I'll help you to actually configure the application. So you can see the complexity will be very, very complex. It's not something you will be able to do it standalone method. And the next part actually about the effort. As I mentioned, when you put overall everything, the effort that you have to put it to run your disaster recovery site will be much more high compared with the benefits that you are getting out of traditional disaster recovery sites. Now, coming back to the Microsoft solution stack, how we look at the solution deck. Starting very simple way, we try to look at it from the high available, starting with Microsoft Hyper-V clustering. So making sure your virtual machine is going to have high availability when a node failure, and then taking the steps a little bit ahead. Not about the Hyper-V clustering, think about even actually virtual machine inside the service got failed. So the host are running properly, but the virtual machine inside the service got failed. How can actually Hyper-V going to know that one? They cannot. So that's why actually we are leveraging on guest clustering method like SQL Always On, Exchange DAG, this database availability group. So that's next level. And then about the backups. You have the high availability, then we need to think about the backup. Backup also, again, Microsoft thinking, not only the enterprise customers, we have to think about all the way for the SMB. So starting built-in Windows Server backup all the way to the enterprise level data center protection manager. But then the question comes from a lot of customers, okay, this, all the solutions are fine, but now I have a problem. due to the complexity and then due to the compliance reasons, I have to back up my data for 5 years' time and keep it for more than 10 years' time. Certain medical records, I have to actually keep it more than that. So I don't have that much of a storage. Or else, I have storage, but actually, how can I actually keep on maintaining? Where am I going to actually keep this all the storage? It's continuously keep on growing. So the Microsoft solution for that one is you can actually now replicate those data to the Azure side. So extending actually your backup to the cloud. That's one actually about the backup side. Now coming back to the DR side of it, we look at it actually Hyper-V replica engine. This is a very simple solution. You already have a Hyper-V host in your primary site. On the DR side, you already have a Hyper-V single host, or it can be a couple of hosts. Out of your, let's assume, 20 virtual machines, 10 are very critical virtual machines. You select the critical virtual machines only and replicate them. Not like the traditional method where SAN-to-SAN replication, you select only the critical virtual machines and replicate. And again, compare with very quickly about the traditional methods, you don't actually have to make sure entire data will be backup and replicated to the DR side. And some vendors might say identical hardware is required. In this case, primary site you can have a SAN, but in the DR site you can have DAS, directly attached storage. And then actually come to the picture, okay, I don't have a DR site. And the when I actually calculate the cost, it's very expensive. I really don't have the budget for a foreseeable future. But again, due to the compliance, due to the way I run the business, I really need to have affordable solution. This is where actually now we are leveraging the Microsoft Cloud, replicating your virtual machine to the Microsoft Cloud. Again, actually, we are doing some interesting part, not only the Microsoft, we're actually helping the neighbors as well. I'll explain a little bit ahead what, who are these neighbors in a little while. If you look at the previous slide, the overall, how we'll help the customers, key part of the solution deck is about the replication, replicating the virtual machine one place to another place. And then the biggest challenge where the traditional disaster recovery solution, which not look at it actually, orchestration and monitoring. There has to be automation method. When a disaster recovery happens, I don't have to follow 100 steps, a menu, and I have to go one by one. If you do that one, there might be a chance where you might be missing one step and actually things can go wrong. It's very typical when actually we get panicked, there can be things we can do wrong, right? So what we try to do is try to do as much as possible orchestration, do automation when it comes to a disaster recovery solution. And again, application configuration. When a disaster happens, I want to actually make sure my IP address gets changed. DNS records need to be get updated. So how can I actually do those things? So what we try to do is map the certain technology situations. Replication, as I mentioned, we leverage on Hyper-V replica. But if you think carefully, what about the application that already have intelligence built in? So in that case, do I have to build use the Hyper-V replica? No. Think about SQL. SQL have their own intelligence and a capability to replicate data between two SQL servers. In that case, we always recommend best practices use SQL always on. The application which doesn't have that kind of a replication mechanism or intelligence, leverage on Hyper-V replica. And then when it comes to the recovery orchestration, leverage on Azure recovery part. And I'll talk about a little bit later about the automation engine. But again, the next question we get from the customers, this is all fine, but there are steps that I need to do after this automation happen. When the virtual machine start on the DR side, I need to change my computer name. I need to change my IP address. I need to do certain scripting running on the DR side. How can I do that one? So this is where actually PowerShell comes to the picture. PowerShell and actually DSC. So DSC is something very new, which we call PowerShell desired state configurations. So altogether, the whole idea behind that one is thinking from the traditional disaster recovery is not going to be enough. You want to make sure automation will be there, and you want to make sure you can do customization for that part as well. Then the next question for customers is, this is all good, but I am already having a disaster recovery site. So can I implement all these solutions to the disaster recovery site? And I'm coming from a VMware background. Can I do everything for the VMware? and I'm actually having my disaster recovery site with the ISP. So how can I actually leverage this technology? So this is actually, as from Microsoft, when we say cloud OS, actually DR stack, consistent platform. Regardless, your DR actually going to be on the your own DR site, or is it going to be with the ISP, or is it going to be with the with the Microsoft Azure, the technology stack is always going to be the same. So now actually I'll take you all back quickly to the Azure site recovery options. Now the name previously actually we call this one Microsoft Hyper-V Replica, actually Hyper-V Replica Manager. Then we changed the name actually to Azure Site Recovery. So you can see there are many solutions at the moment available. If you look at the first option is assuming you have two Hyper-V sites, we will do the replication and we do the automation of the replica. Number two, if you already a customer who already purchased SAN, so you already leverage SAN, so you want to leverage that technology and you want to do virtual machine automation failover, fine, we support that feature as well. We actually work with the hardware vendors, SAN vendors, we provide that feature. And then number three, assuming you don't have a DR site and you want to leverage Microsoft Azure Cloud as your DR site, so we offer that site for you as the option. This is what I'm going to talk about today detailly. And then number four and five is where I mentioned we prefer to extend our love to our neighbors. So rather than say enemy, I would say neighbors. So the customers who already have VMware, and they already have VMware DR site as well, but they never implemented SRM due to the complexity or the licensing cost, no worries. We actually now allowing actually the DR solution using the Microsoft solution tech. And very soon, number five is something going to be coming very soon for you all. A VMware customer who doesn't have a DR site, we can actually leverage Microsoft Azure and replicate the virtual machine to the cloud. Now, can I know very quickly out of the audience, anyone aware, what's the product that Microsoft purchased to give this solution deck for number four and five? Any idea? We actually purchased a third-party company to give this solution last year. The company actually called InMarge Scout. So InMarge actually has been a number one on the replication technology. So just like the other companies do, we also went ahead and purchased that company and we keep on extending the love for the VMware customers as well now. So coming back to the Microsoft Replication Engine, this is something of a very simple method, but very effective. Simply taking out the virtual machines on the primary side and replicating them to the DR side. Now, initially when we introduced this version on 2012, we only had 5 minutes replication intervals. But now, with 2012 R2, we support 30 seconds, 5 minutes, and 15 minutes replication engines. I'm actually not going to spend too much time because today evening, Mike Crisella actually going to spend very deeply about this technology stack, about the Hyper-V Replica. So simply let me actually take you to the demo. I'm talking about taking single Hyper-V server. I already have two virtual machines, and I'm going to replicate them to the Microsoft Cloud, and then I'm going to demo actually how the failover happened to the cloud. And after that, once you fix down the, let's say, the on-premise server, the problem happened and you fix it, how can you actually replicate those virtual machines from the cloud back to your data center? So to do that one, the very high-level steps actually, you will be going to the Microsoft Azure website, make a subscription. The subscription also very interesting. You get a couple of options. What kind of scenario you want to do? So let me go ahead and quickly demo that one. So right now I'm in my Azure subscription. So to enable the Hyper-V Replica technology, I'll go to the recovery services. We need to create a recovery vault. So we'll simply go and say new and site recovery vault and give a description name. And this name has to be very unique. So we'll call this one SCUV 01. And it's very important for you to make sure your region you select is very closest to your country. So in our case, we'll select Southeast Asia. So this is going to be the container where actually all the virtual machines are going to be communicating with. So while this is happening, I'm just going to quickly demo, like, in my Hyper-V host, I have simply two applications, one domain controller and one application virtual machine. So the whole idea behind that one, those two virtual machines we are going to protect and replicate them back to the Azure cloud. So once the recovery vault is created, we will be actually greeted with the option. What you are going to do, what kind of a customer you are. Are you a service provider or an enterprise company? So let's assume we are enterprise. And what's the purpose? We'll call, we want to do evaluate or production. Either method is fine. And then it will be asking, okay, what is the scenario you are going to simulate now? In our case, we are going to go from Hyper-V site, that means Hyper-V server, to Azure site. So you can see the scenarios. It can be SVMM site, assuming you have more than two virtual machines, Hyper-V host, managed by virtual machine manager, or you are a customer who is having VMware, or customer who having a couple of Hyper-V hosts without virtual machine manager, and then replicate them to the cloud, or to your DR site, which is Hyper-V again, or for a VMware to VMware site, or Hyper-V to Hyper-V server. So in our case, from Hyper-V server to Azure site. So once you select that one, the setup recovery option automatically selected. Then as you can see, the options are very simple. It's already given you the option what you need to follow. So this is the simplicity about creating a DR scenario. So you'll first of all need to create a Hyper-V site. So I'll create a simple one again. So once the Hyper-V site created, what we need to do is actually, if I go back, the next step is going to be like, we need to download an agent. We call actually download the provider. This provider need to be installed to the Hyper-V host, and then we need to register with the Azure subscription. So in my case, I have already downloaded the provider just to save time. So I'll download the registration key. We'll save this one to the desktop just to save time. So once the file is downloaded, I'll go ahead and run the Azure site provider agent. So basically, this agent actually going to send the information about the Hyper-V host and the virtual machines inside this host to the cloud, Azure cloud. So while it's going on, let me again take you back to the web. The other step that you need to do, make sure that you have a storage account. Because when the virtual machines on the on-premise Hyper-V virtual machines, where we are going to keep them on the Azure side, we need to have a storage account. And then the next question, when the virtual machines fail over to the Azure side, what kind of IP address you are going to get? So you need to make sure you create a virtual network and map IP addresses. So again, now the agent has installation completed. I'll actually give the licensing file details. So this will make sure it will be getting mapped to the correct Azure subscription. While it's going on, I'll make sure I'll go ahead and create a storage account quickly. Call this one SEO. And this is very important. Now we are going to actually protect your virtual machines on the Azure DR side. So Microsoft want to make sure they also actually keep on continuing the same SLA. So any given time, they want to make sure your data again going to be copied to another data center on Azure side. So always, we are going to make sure your data going to be copied to another data center in Microsoft side. So replication is always selected as your redundant. You shouldn't be actually selecting that one to local redundancy for any given reason. So we'll go ahead and create the storage account. And by this time, the agent has been already created. So these are the initial steps that we need to carry out just to enable the DR part. So while the storage account's creating, I'll again go ahead and create a Windows Azure virtual network. So we can create a very simple one. So you can give the IP range you prefer from 10 range, 172 range, or 192.168 range. Again, make sure the location you select is always very important. It has to be the closest for you. So when the task completed, we'll go back to the recovery services. So we have already completed steps 1, 2, 3, and now it's about actually creating the protection group. So we'll go ahead and create a protection group quickly. We'll call this one as SCUPG. So we are going to select from SCU Hyper-V site, which we created earlier, and the storage account, the one we created previously, to the Microsoft Azure site. This is very important. The next question is how frequently your virtual machines need to be replicated to the Azure site. The option is every 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. Now the question remains, how much bandwidth you have? It always depends on the question, how much internet connection you have, the bandwidth pipe. So it's always recommended to have between 5 minutes and 15 minute cycles, depending on your bandwidth matter. So I'll make sure it's 5 minutes, and then you have the option how many recovery points you need to have. So I'll keep the default settings and create the recovery group quickly. So while this is going on, what I have done is I already pre-created the one, because otherwise we'll have to wait a long time. So I'll finish this one and then jump back to one of the subscriptions which I have already created. In this scenario, I have, as I mentioned, I select the different host, and I have already created the recovery group. And under that one, I am already protecting two virtual machines. The biggest problem, actually, a lot of customers are getting the question, okay, I have 10 virtual machines, and the capacity is 1 terabyte. How can I actually replicate them to the cloud? It will take a long time. So if that's the case, you can actually talk with the partner and with the Microsoft team. There are a couple of mechanisms we call import and export service. We have actually method we can actually export those virtual machines to the Microsoft data center. So there is a service like that as well. It's in the preview stage, but we can talk to the customer and with the Microsoft team, and we can enable that one. Otherwise, the option is through the normal internet connection, we are replicating the data. So in my scenario, I have already replicated the two virtual machines. Let me go back to my Hyper-V host and demo that one. So in this scenario, in this particular Hyper-V host, same two virtual machines, but taking the additional steps, I have gone ahead and already replicated them. The The next question is, virtual machines are already replicated. How can actually now the DR happen? To do the DR part, we have to create a recovery plan. So currently you can see I have not created a recovery plan. We'll go ahead and create a recovery plan quickly. So I'll call this one as SCU recovery plan. So from our ASR recovery site to Microsoft Azure. Assuming you might be having 10 or 15 virtual machines, you can select all of them. So in my case, I already have two virtual machines, domain controller and application server. Okay, so as you can see, the recovery plan got created very quickly. Now we get the option to customize that one. Now, if I take you all to the customization section, the interesting part is, in this demo, when the virtual machines get failover, as you can see in the screen, app virtual machine is going to be starting first, and DC virtual machine is going to be starting second. Is this the correct order or not? What do you think? It's not, because always application depending on the domain controller. So there has to be a proper order. So this is why I mentioned it has to be automated. So what we are going to do now, create a group, second group, and we are going to put application server to the group two. And then for the sum of the customers, the second question is, okay, this is fine. Now the order is fine, but when the domain controller start or the application server start, I want to make sure change the IP address or run some scripts. So I want to change some name or maybe give a static IP address, those kind of changes. If that's the case, we can select the group and select scripting. Before scripting, I'll demo quickly about the manual action. Manual action about saying, okay, what you want the person who is responsible about the DR site, what they need to do. So we can give some instructions saying, after the group one DC start, what we want them to do. So we can give instruction. That's one method. The other method is we don't want anyone to participate and do anything. Let everything happen automated. So we can do scripting. So we'll say script. Once the DC started, so we'll say add after group one, and we'll call assign static IP. And when under the Azure Automation account, I have already created Azure Automation account. And under that, I have already created a script, PowerShell script called static IP. I rename it like that. So what will happen is within this script, automatically, once the virtual machine starts it up, it will assign a static IP for that virtual machine. So likewise, as you can see, when the virtual machine is now starting order, when I create this one, I'll save my recovery plan. It will take a couple of seconds actually to get saved. So done. So once it's completed, we'll come back. So the recovery plan is now done. So we have two options. While the production servers are running, I want to do a test failover. Without impacting for the production servers, I want to test whether my DR plan is working properly. Or the other one is, I want to do a failover. So let's assume I want to do a test failover without impacting the production network. So I'll say select a network. This is very important again. As I mentioned earlier, on the DR site, you can create two virtual networks. One is called DR network, DR test network. So when you want to do DR drill testing, we normally say select the network called DR drill testing network. So in my case, I'm going to use the network called ASR001 and run that one. So now actually the DR recovery plan is executed. Virtual machine is going to be created. So right now, if I jump quickly again to the virtual machine section, you can see no virtual machines created right now. So I'll go for the recovery plan, go to jobs, and look at the test failover plan. So you can see it's a series of steps. Now keep on running. What will happen is, not like the traditional disaster recovery plans, what we only replicated is the virtual hard drives. We didn't create virtual machines. Now what will happen is, on the Azure side, you are taking that virtual hard drives, creating virtual machines, and mapping those virtual hard drives. So only at that time only you get charged. Apart from that, the only thing you get charged is for the hard drive space, which is very cost effective. Around 1 terabyte, you will be only get charged for like monthly $25. So it's very cost effective method. Now this one, it will take some time. So let me actually run through the video, showing you the next steps. Good question. So basically what will happen is, when you do that command, then ASR on the Azure side, he will do that command thing, automation scripting part. He will actually pass in that one and then pass into the other side. Simply what will happen is, when you have two virtual machine sites, VMM sites, basically ASR will be actually passing the command to the VMM. VMM will be executing and starting the virtual machines. Yes, you still recover that one. Exactly. Because the thing is, we need to get the machine's metadata. We are not actually copying any machine data. I mean, virtual hard drives, we are not getting copied. The metadata information. We need to know the virtual machine configuration files. And then we actually give in the command. When you're failing over, we just pass the command to the other VMM server by the automation engine saying, go ahead and create the virtual machine. So the VMM take that instruction, and actually it will be executing. That's the only difference between like site to site and site to Azure. Azure management pack. Azure management pack is a different one. If you're asking about this COM management pack kind of a thing. WAP, Windows Azure Pack. Windows Azure Pack is totally different one. It's about like in-house you have a, let's say, virtualization environment. You want to create virtual machines just like the Azure, but only for the internal data center. It's kind of like a self-service portal. Just similar like this portal, internal one only. Yes and no. Why I said like that is, now we support integrated ASR feature to the WAP. What will happen is, when you do that one, now using that feature, let's assume you already have in-house data center, you already implemented WAP, now we can integrate the ASR to the WAP. So now you can actually fail over your virtual machine to the DR site on Azure site. If that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, WAP you not going to use like that, because WAP is more about like, as I mentioned, for the entire one data center, centralized management, kind of, as I mentioned, self-service management part. If you want to do like that. But if you want, not like that. It's totally different way. So, sorry about that. But feel free. I'll actually detail discuss that one with you. So let me quickly run that video, because I don't want you all to wait for 10 minutes time until the DR happen. So let me go through the steps, as you saw earlier. So I'll take you to the exact path where we stopped earlier. So this is where we were at the moment. Now the failover process is going on. It will take a little bit time, so I'll fast forward. So you can see, like, right now it will take the virtual hard drives, create the virtual machines on group 1 and group 2, one by one. So you can see at the moment, the app virtual machine actually getting started up now. So this is where I just want to take. Now you can see that all the steps are completed. Now let's have a quick look at it. Once it's completed, what will happen? On the virtual machine section, you will be able to see two virtual machines are up and running on the cloud site now. If I click one of them, There are two IPs we will be able to see. One is the static internal IP, which we created on the virtual network. And the other one is the public IP. So assuming you already have site-to-site VPN between the Azure cloud and on your on-prem data center, these virtual machines will be able to access by the internal IP addresses. But the biggest question is we need to think carefully. When actually disaster recovery happened, we are thinking about our entire data center is gone, right? We are on-premise, entire data center is gone. There's no way to access. Then how we are going to access all the application? Then you need to make sure you have some kind of mechanism where your applications also hosted on the DR side, and the users can make a RDP connection to those applications and access them. That's the true disaster recovery solution. Not only thinking all my critical servers are protected now, so everything's fine. It's not the way. Make sure how is the users going to connect them. If their desktops and laptops also got destroyed, then how they are going to connect. Think about that way. So as I mentioned, now actually the failover completed on the DR side, then actually internal and the public IP address is already assigned. So this is, as I mentioned, will take a couple of minutes time to complete. Just want to show from a video how it will happen. So you can see still it's going on. So the next question actually now assuming, let's assume for some reason now you managed to sort out the DR site problem and you fix your on-premise data center. Now all the virtual machines are actually running on the Azure side. Now you want to bring it back to the on-premise data center. If that's the case, we can failover it back. So for me to live demo that one, I need to wait until this completed. So while it's happening, I'm just going to run again the video. So in this situation, what will happen is, from the Microsoft Azure side, we are actually going to replicate the virtual machine back to the on-premise server side. So there are two options the data synchronization can happen for you. So again, I'll fast forward this one. It's the same recovery window. So basically what will happen is in this scenario, the virtual machines which are already up and running on the Azure side, they will be decommissioned. That means virtual machine will be get destroyed, and then the virtual hard drives will be getting replicated back to the on-premise Hyper-V host, the changes. Because you don't want to get billed. If the virtual machines are up and running on the Azure side, then it will be get billed. Every minute it's running. So in this scenario, when you're failing back, virtual machines getting deallocated. So again, I'm just going to fast forward just to save the time. So again, now it's saying waiting for the action for the end user to say, okay, go ahead and commit this one. I'm ready for the failover part. So let me take you can, at the moment you can see one virtual machine, it has been stop stated. That means this virtual machine already now actually getting replicated to the Hyper-V host. The DC is still running. It needs to be get deallocated. It will again take a couple of seconds time. So this is not a DR just like snap like that. It will take actually a little bit time. So you can see now those virtual machines are stopped, and now they are getting deallocated. If we switch back to the Hyper-V host site, which I want to demo quickly. So they are at the moment on the recovery plan failover in progress. So let me take it to the final bits on the Hyper-V host site. So you can see on the Hyper-V host, failback replication happening. So the data will be getting replicated back into the Hyper-V host on on-premise server. So this is I actually keep on demoing very simple method, taking single Hyper-V host. If you have actually a couple of Hyper-V hosts, it's the same method. You will be installing agent. In case if you have a SVMM server, you will be installing an agent to the SVMM host, and then every Hyper-V host also you need to install an agent to manage, centrally manage. Now, while this is going on, actually, I'll skip to the slide deck again. Let me take it to the important part. Now, there are a few things you need to know about this solution. One thing, actually, automatically map to the closest Azure size you can change. Now, if you look at this picture, you can see on-premise server, we have already detected using the agent what is the capacity size of the on-premise server. And in this site, we are actually selecting one of the templates on the Azure site and saying, okay, if you fail over this virtual machine to the Azure, this is the virtual machine I can select. We can actually select, there are actually more than 10 virtual machine templates, predefined ones. We can select one of them. That's very important you to do that one. And then we can actually select the Microsoft Azure network, we select as well. And then the supported. We have one limitation at the moment. The operating system hard drive, it has to be 127 GB. In your on-premise server, if you have 200 GB, 300 GB OS disk size, we have a problem because then you need to make sure you shrink it actually to 127 GB. Otherwise, you won't be able to replicate it to the cloud side. And the other side is the data disk. We supported maximum data disk is 1 TB. So 1 TB, 16 disk like that. Now, this is a challenge, but in a store simple session, you will learn actually how we can actually overcome that limitation. Apart from that, currently we don't support generation 2 virtual machine, Hyper-V virtual machine. At the moment, it's only generation 1 virtual machine. So, as I mentioned, it's a very simple demo I really won't talk about, not very complex way. But the key takeaway actually, Hyper-V replica is the key engine we are using, starting from all the way from the simple Hyper-V replica all the way to the cloud level. And as I mentioned, for the BCM, business continuity, make sure the automation is there. It's not about like replicating virtual machines and then starting them. You need to make sure there will be some automation engine has to be built in for that one. And the key part from the message from Microsoft is the BCM business actually, BCM part, not only for the enterprise companies, even for the small business, we actually provide in the same content, same features, regardless about your business size. And the last but not the least, as I mentioned, I only gave a very indicative future. VMware customers also can directly replicate virtual machines to Azure near future. It's happening this year. And apart from that, there are a few couple of very interesting things going to happen, which I cannot disclose at this stage. But stay tuned. Actually, the disaster recovery business from Microsoft point of view, they actually invest a lot on this part. So there are going to be very interesting few news going to hear in future. And then, if you're really interested about the disaster recovery solution, the next couple of sessions, actually, you can get complimented, learn more. Actually, today evening, we have the Hyper-V replica session by Mike Rieseler about deeply talk about Hyper-V replica. And then the compliment for the Hyper-V replica about the Azure automation. Doesn't matter about the replica, you need to have the automation engine. So the Marcel will talk about that one. And then, as I mentioned 1 TB, we have a limitation. How to overcome 1 TB limitation. So store simple, there are two sessions which is going to be talking about that one. And if you are interested about ASR, I have actually added a plethora of information, links, Hyper-V links, where you can actually get an idea how to start it up, how to set it up, and the deployments and planning guides. So you have a lot of resources. You will get this slide deck, so you can use them and get more information. And please feel free, I'll be also setting outside the session, so you can come and ask any question which is related to this session. Thank you very much.